Today on Locked On Angels, Mike and I are joined by the host of Locked On MLB Prospects, Lindsey Crosby. He's going to talk to us about the Angels minor league system, and he's going to tell you about some names that you probably already know but want to hear more about, like Sam Bachman, Kai Bush, Jeremiah Jackson, Kyren Paris, all those names that are up and coming in the Angels minor league system, and he's got a lot of great insight for us. You're Locked On with Mike and John, and this is Locked On Angels.
You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. If you're listening on the audio side, we'd really appreciate it if you took the time to rate and review the podcast. And if you're listening on the video side on YouTube and watching us there, subscribe, click that bell, and be notified every time a new episode hits. What's going on, everyone? My name is John, one half of the Super Halo Bros and one half of Locked On Angels. And I'm excited to introduce today's conversation with Locked On MLB Prospects host Lindsey Crosby. He gives us some great insight into the Angels, and we cover a lot of things about the Angels minor league system. And Lindsey gives us some names to keep an eye on. So you and I are going to want to know who's up and coming in this system. And he's got a lot of great insight. Here is that discussion right now on Locked On Angels. Well, we're happy to welcome in Lindsey Crosby of Locked On MLB Prospects. He's joining Mike and I to talk about the Angel system and give our listeners a little bit of insight into what's going on there. So Lindsey, thanks for hopping on with us, man. We appreciate it.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be the first non-Angels host on your show now that you guys are part of the network.
Yeah, man, it's been such a joy to be part of Locked On and get to know everybody. And so this is really exciting for Mike and I as well. Mike, you can attest to that.
Oh, heck yeah. And I think that I'm really intrigued at what you have to say about the Angels minor league system. One of the things that John and I have talked about on Locked On Angels has been how every single year it feels like the Angels are ranked in the bottom 20, if not the very bottom, right? And then we see these great players like Jared Walsh and Taylor Ward, who's on your fantasy team, yes. I hear, and other great players come out, right? And one of the things that we've seen is that it's taken them a bit longer to develop. And so I'm wondering, first question is, why is it that we're ranked so low, but yet when we look at our major league roster, we have a lot of really great guys that were in that low-ranked minor league system?
Yeah, so very good question and very good. Yeah. So a couple reasons there. I think the first thing is the distribution of talent hasn't always been even both year to year and position. So like positions, you look at there's places. And the big thing to me is catcher where, you know, Mike Napoli and Jeff Mathis were the only like decent catchers to come out of the system in like what, a decade or so. And so I think part of it is when the prospect apparatus is, as I talk about on my show a lot, when they look at the system from a distance, they see, oh yeah, well, there's no catchers coming out of there. You know, they haven't had the hit rate on the outfielders or whatever it might be. There are certain positions that they don't see average levels of guys come out like they normally would. And then two, when you have guys come off the farm, I think about something like when I was making this list, Brandon Marsh is no longer on the list as far as prospect eligible. Joe Adell is no longer eligible. Walsh is no longer eligible. Patrick Sandoval is no longer eligible. They all kind of graduated around the same time. And so the system ranks higher, and then you take a big chunk of guys out of it. And so year to year, the spread of talent isn't even as well. And then I think part of it too is just we've seen guys come out of the system and do really well. I feel like it's almost just the Angels have a better than average hit rate on some of these guys. And so you see, oh yeah, these are six guys on their everyday roster that are homegrown, you know, and it matches some other team, but you did it using less guys to get there. You just happen to have some guys hit, whereas other teams may have a lower hit rate. And so is the system really like bottom third in talent? I don't think so. But the perception of it is that maybe it's not as deep as it needs to be. And that's probably something that's going to be fixed. I think one, the draft last year helped. And then this year's draft too.
Yeah.
just both of these drafts, I think, are really going to add a lot of talent to the system and then kind of help with the distribution of where guys are. Like right now, I feel like it's really pitcher heavy, but like position players, yeah, especially power hitting position players, they're not really there. Mm-hmm. Whereas some, you know, one draft can kind of fix some of the perceived weaknesses of the system.
Yeah. So do you think that maybe then when it comes to like the ranking system, that actually influences the ability for the Angels to make trades? Do you think teams pay close attention to that, or is there a deeper thought there?
I think the smart organizations know better. They have scouts who are watching okay. other teams, and they're aware of the true talent level of the system versus what people like me and the websites think is the talent level of the system. But there's probably a bit of perception on the part of the fans, and then probably a little bit among some of the lazier front offices that maybe the Angels aren't retreating with because they probably don't have the kind of guys we want or enough guys for us to be interested. Like if we had a conversation right now about Juan Soto, none of your fans probably think you have the talent to trade for a Juan Soto. That only comes up because that's the thing going around Twitter right now is what's the trade package for Juan Soto. Whereas you can probably in every single system find enough guys to make a deal like that. And I think that most of the good baseball front offices, your Atlantas, your Torontos, things like that, they know that. They're aware that there's plenty of talent here. It's just the fans and some of the some of the national media who maybe is looking at all of the organizations at once, they're not necessarily as aware.
Got it.
That makes sense. There was a great tweet from at Team Ohtani that I saw the day the news about Juan Soto kind of broke. And he said, this might be the closest we get to a what if Trout got traded at some point with Juan Soto. So I think if that's going to be the case at the trade deadline that Soto's going to get moved, man, that's going to be an incredible trade package.
It's probably going to be one of the biggest trades in modern baseball history. I mean, I'm working, I've had somebody reach out to me, and I'm working on a show right now about proposals for Juan Soto, and every one that I've seen so far is just, you can't fathom that anybody's going to give up this much. And then you go back and you look at Juan Soto, you're like, no, I get it. I mean, he's got arbitration for 3 years still, and he's as good as he is, and he's so young, and it really is going to be a huge trade if it happens, and it might. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
So you mentioned some of the guys that are in the major leagues that are no longer considered minor league prospects. And so can you give us a few names? Maybe they might be familiar to Angel fans, maybe to John and I, but can you give us a few names that are familiar and maybe a few names that are not so familiar that would be considered top prospects in the Angel minor league system?
So everybody knows Reed Detmers, obviously. He's the number one prospect in the system. He's technically still prospect eligible. He won't be when the season's over. But Sam Bachman is a guy, obviously pitcher from last year, who we're really kind of high on just because of the how loud his tools are. So he's somebody, Miami of Ohio, and seen as like just a pure power pitcher, but he probably has one of the better fastballs in the system, probably has one of the better sliders in the system, and a guy that we really see as probably going to get some aggressive promotions and able to contribute as soon as next year. The fastball is mid to upper 90s. He's hit 100 with it before. The fastball, it's one of those really tight kind of vertical. I'm sorry, the slider. One of those tight vertical sliders has a lot of late movement to it, and so it's really good to get guys to chase out of the zone with it. So just those two pitches by themselves already make him where you could use him as a setup man or a closer and you'd be great. But then to go with he's got a changeup that is average right now, but I think it could be better. And that's probably going to be the differentiator between is he a starter or is he a reliever, is what can he do besides those two? Because if you have those two amazing pitches, you can throw Sam Bachman in your bullpen right now and he can be an effective major league closer for you. But do you want him to be able to start? You're looking at a guy who kind of profiles with his velocity, his movement. He could probably be a number three starter or so, you know, maybe better if he can figure out a fourth pitch. And so that's kind of why he's in the minors right now, is figure out, you know, one, let's get the changeup better. It needs a little more speed difference off of the fastball. And then he just has to be able to control it better and then figure out a fourth pitch so you can start. But if not, fallback is always, here's your closer, which is not a bad fallback to have.
Yeah, we were talking about what kind of moves the Angels might need to make at the deadline, and if they're unable to secure a front-of-the-line kind of starter, you know, if they're playoff-bound, that bolstering the bullpen is the next move, because we've seen it with teams like the Braves last season. I mean, that World Series was all bullpen. It was all Will Smith, you know, and those guys. And so
Will Smith, Tyler Matzik, Luke Jackson.
Exactly.
It was like those three guys every night.
Yeah. Exactly. And so to know that Sam Bachman could come up in a role like that is kind of reassuring, huh, Mike?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you and I've talked about that Frankie Rodriguez 2002, him coming up and, you know, pitching just 8 innings in the major leagues, and then he gets on the postseason roster. And so there's always that sentimentality in Angel fans' hearts where we're like, how can we match this season to 2002? And so when you talk about Sam Bachman coming up and being in the bullpen, all of us go, ooh, hey, that sounds great. You know? So we get really excited about
especially 20 years after the World Series. You know? We're like, all right.
Oh man, it was 20 years. That was 20
years
ago.
20 years.
Oh gosh. I'm so much older than I realized. Oh my goodness.
And the rest of this show is going to be a therapy session.
That's right. That's right.
Let's unpack that a little
bit. Yeah. How does that make you feel?
Coming up on Locked On Angels, we've got a lot more discussion with Lindsey Crosby. But first, Locked On Angels is brought to you by a Built Bar. Last week, we received a delivery from our friends at Built Bar, and it was a 12-pack of the brand new birthday cake puffs. Oh, they were so good. I think I have like one left. And they're the newest puffs from Built Bar. They're covered in 100% white chocolate with added sprinkles. And the good news is that they're only 150 calories, and they have 16 grams of protein and only 9 grams of sugar. We want to thank Built Bar for sending these samples along to Mike and I. And please, Built Bar, feel free to send whatever else you want to send us, because we know you have many amazing flavors like the raspberry puffs or the churro-flavored puffs. I can't wait to try them all, especially after this birthday cake puff. Here's the best news. Whether it's a puff or a bar, Built Bars are better tasting, and they're better for you, and they're better than a candy bar. All Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means with Built Bar, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy what you're eating too. That's a very rare combination, but Built Bar has figured it out. They figured out the science there. Plus, Built Bars are made with collagen protein, a protein your body absorbs more efficiently, and it provides a ton of health benefits. So go to Built.com to get the birthday cake puffs or get your favorite Built Bar now. You can use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Maybe try the mix box. If you can't decide on a flavor, they'll send you a variety pack. Again, use the promo code LOCKED15 and you get yourself 15% off at Built Bar today. Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. Now for your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast. You're going to get recaps of MLB games from our local experts, the hosts of the other Locked On Baseball podcasts and shows. We're taking fans through the season like no other network, and it's free and available wherever you get your podcast. And now let's get back to our conversation with MLB Prospects' own Lindsey Crosby.
Who else do you have on that list besides Sam Bachman? What are some other names? I know that Kai Bush has been a name that has come up in the minor leagues, and then there's a couple of position players, but other pitchers that come up on that list. Who's in front of you there?
So yeah, talking about pitchers, Kai Bush was one of the few lefties in this system. If you want to talk about a weakness when it comes to pitching in the system, I think it's just the prevalence of righties and the lack of lefties. But Kai Bush is definitely that guy. Transferred a lot in college, and so I think part of the reason why he was a little underappreciated was because he moved around so much. But he's a big lefty. I mean, 6'6", 240, big guy.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Big boy. But he has a big fastball to match. I mean, his fastball runs up to 96. And he has one of those almost directly over-the-top motions. So it throws you off a little bit because it the fastball almost hides behind his head and then kind of pops out last second at you. A little bit of deception there. To go along with that, he's got a slider which is above average now. I think it can be a plus pitch. It's got good horizontal movement, but it has a lot of vertical drop. And you don't see a lot of sliders that can do both of those. So I think it could be from above average to plus. And then after that, it's kind of like, okay, let's figure out a third pitch. He's got a curveball. You know, sits in the 70s. He's got a changeup. They're both kind of iffy. And he really just kind of needs to figure out what that third pitch is going to be. But if you can give me a big lefty with a big fastball, it's just something that not a lot of hitters get to see a lot, especially out of that arm slot. And then combine that with a slider with some funky movement like he has. I mean, he's somebody who, if he can figure out a curveball or a change or both, you're looking at a good number three, number four pitcher. And then if not, again, you have that fallback. You hate to use it, but you have that fallback of an impact arm out of the bullpen. But I really think he could be a starter if he can just figure out one of those two secondary pitches.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. We've heard a lot about Sam Bachman and Kai Bush. And then last Friday, Chase Silseth comes out of nowhere and debuts against Oakland, goes six innings strong, no runs. Are there any other pitchers that could make that same move as Chase Silseth and come out of nowhere and pitch in a major league game kind of that way?
We want you to say yes, by the
way. No pressure, but say yes. Silseth was one of those guys I had on my list as one of my sleepers that I really kind of like. And then obviously he pops up and he goes ahead and does that. Physical tools, not the same, but I really like a Davis Daniel. And the thing with Davis Daniel, he's something where had Tommy John in college at Auburn. And so, you know, only threw two or three innings. I think he was his first start where he got hurt. Has four full pitches, but mainly kind of sticks with the fastball. Doesn't have the ridiculous velo that you're kind of used to nowadays. Hits 95 with it, but it's got a lot of movement to it. The curveball is one of those big 12 to 6 curveballs. There's a changeup and a slider. I know he's done some stuff out of the bullpen. And I think the big thing there is he's got really good pitchability. He just kind of understands how to mix the pitches. And the struggles that you see that I've seen from him on some of his call-ups in the past is he's gone a little too fastball heavy instead of kind of, because the fastball is not overwhelmingly elite. He's one of these guys where nothing is plus plus, maybe not even nothing is plus, but when you add it all together, it's more than the sum of its parts. And if he can keep the arsenal varied and not let you sit on any one thing. And then if he can figure out a little better movement with the change and the slider, I think he could be an impact arm in the rotation, especially later in the season when everybody's kind of worn down, you bring him, let him be fresh. But he just needs to not throw the fastball so much because it's not an amazing fastball.
That makes sense.
So could I bring it back to Silseth for a moment? Because You mentioned Kai Bush and then Silseth, gets called up. And I think if you asked any Angel fan that's at least a little bit aware of our prospects, we would have assumed Reed Detmers and then maybe Sam Bachman needs some work. And then Kai Bush and Silseth, like John said, came out of nowhere. Do you think that they made the decision to bring up Silseth over Kai Bush because Bush has moved around a lot and is still working through some things in your expert opinion?
Yeah, Silseth feels like more of a finished product. I think he's a guy where when you go back, you look at him in college, he never he was able to be the star guy. I think back to, I think it was the 2021 College World Series, him versus Kumar Rocker on a Friday night going toe-to-toe. And so he's always been a little more finished product. I kind of think that's why he got the call up first. And then some of his weapons are a little more developed. He's got a splitter. You think it's a changeup, it's actually the splitter. The curveball is kind of slurvy, but he has a slider to go along with it and the fastball, and they're all kind of plus pitches, except for the splitter. So I think it's something where he's more of a finished product, and then he's kind of been more consistent with, this is what I'm doing, I've been doing this for a while, and he just kind of had to refine some edges where you look at a Bush and he's still trying to figure some stuff out, he's still trying to improve a little bit, versus just refining what he already does.
So with the 20 draft picks last season and signing 19 of them, first, What did you make of that when it happened? And second, do the Angels, I mean, it seems like a logical advantage, but is there an advantage to the fact that I think maybe all of them, if not all of them, are college pitchers that they drafted?
Yeah, 19 of the 20 were college pitchers, and then 18 of the 19 who signed were college. I think the high school was signed, and one of the college guys went back to college. I want to say TCU, maybe. But to me, it tells me that the organization understands we need more pitching at the big league level. And when you draft a prep player, you're usually, most situations, you're looking at 4 to 5 years for them to hit the major league level, whereas Silseth is the first player from that draft to come up. I'm not going to say you're going to see a ton of guys after a year go, you know, debut, but you have a much better chance when you can take a finished product like a Silseth, who was a starter all through college. Like, he did that for years. He's already kind of, he's already figured out who he is as a pitcher. He just had to refine a few things so that he could go ahead and be ready to debut versus a Bush who transferred around, relieved a bit, started for a bit, has to figure things out still. To me, it kind of told me, okay, we understand that we need these pitchers in major league sooner rather than later. And you kind of saw back half of the draft, they took a lot of guys who had starting experience, who had started for multiple years, so that something like a Silseth could come up and debut this year. I'd be really curious to see. I could see them doing something similar, but probably going with college hitters. And then being able to take some gambles on some high school pitchers, knowing that you have some near talent, some talent who'll be up in the next year or two.
Yeah,
you can afford to take a really elite looking high school kid, and you can take the gamble on him because you're not going to need him in the immediate future.
Right.
And give him time to develop. So I can. That's kind of what I don't expect 20 pitchers again, especially not 19 college ones.
Right.
But a bunch of higher level hitters, and then some lottery picks, if you will, just some kind of gambles on guys that if this dude works out, it's going to be a steal. If he doesn't, we're fine. We're not going to count on him to play for us.
They can afford to do that this season, considering they have so many pitchers from the last draft. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Today, Locked On Angels is brought to you by BetOnline. Check out betonline.net. It's your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NBA playoffs, which are heating up, getting hot, and of course, the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline is where the game starts. If we start talking about some of the bats in the minor league system, one guy that I think a lot of people want to know about is what they're going to do with Michael Stefanik, because all that guy does is hit. And the word around the league, around the Angel fandom last season was, it's his defense that's holding him back. Has there been any improvement on Stefanik in terms of defense this season?
So it's something where I think he's going to end up at second versus third. They've tried him at both. And I would rather have somebody with limited range at second than a limited arm at third.
Right.
Because you could scheme around range. You can't scheme around the arm doesn't get there. And as good as he is, I could see if he was a little faster, I could say, like, man, you're going to have a utility guy who's going to be great.
Yeah.
But his range issue isn't necessarily a speed thing. It's just a defensive instincts. I think he could probably add some corner outfield. And if he adds corner outfield and then can improve some of his mechanics to be able to make the throws at third base, he's a guy you can call up relatively quickly and he can contribute. From what I've seen, from what I've been told, he's doing the work. We're just waiting to see all of the outcomes from it. He's legitimately trying. He's going through drills. He is getting better. It's just how much better do we need him to be before we feel comfortable that we're not going to lose value by bringing him and using him in a defensive role.
Right. Yeah. The Angels seem to have a luxury, which we haven't had in years where we can afford to have guys stay in the minors a little bit, because mm-hmm. with the way the team is winning right now, I mean, we've seen it with Joe Adell. Like, we don't need Joe Adell on the team at this moment.
Right.
We would like to have him on the team and,
it'd be great.
Of course, yeah. play great yeah. defense and have that bat. But this is kind of the first time that we can kind of sit back comfortably and say, no, let that guy cook a little bit more yeah. in the minors. And
put him
and,
back in the oven.
Yeah, yeah, just a little bit longer, 15 more minutes,
yeah,
a few more degrees.
Yeah.
So this is kind of the first time we've had that luxury. So that's, yeah, that makes sense about Stefanik. No, there's not really a rush to bring him up as much as we'd like to see that bat
right.
in the lineup.
Right.
Yeah. And part of me wonders if him being at AAA is maybe the best place to learn that.
Hmm.
Because AA and AAA are really kind of different animals. So AA, obviously, it's your first taste of the upper minors. And the jump to AA is probably the biggest jump a prospect will make.
Hmm.
But AAA, for a lot of teams, isn't as much focused on player development as it is focused on, we're here to help the big league team win.
Mm, right.
We have journeymen who are stashed, who are going to play first if Jared Walsh gets hurt. We have a utility guy here who's playing short, who we're going to call him up if Velasquez gets hurt, if Tyler Wade also can't go to back him up. And so part of me wonders, is AAA the right place for him? But it's so hard to send a guy down a level.
Yeah.
So especially a 26-year-old to say, hey, we're going to send you from AAA to AA.
Right.
Right.
So developmentally, he probably should be at AA to kind of get that coaching and instruction, because that you're still focused on development of players there, whereas AAA, you're focused on how can we help the big league team win. But I think that you'll probably see him sooner rather than later, probably first time you have an infield injury and say, like, you have to have Tyler Wade play every day at short or at second or something. You'll probably see him come up as a backup and as a replacement, and then hopefully get a chance to get that bat in the lineup and let him produce, because his bat is very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where do the Angels actually slot in the draft coming up? And do you have any sort of idea of who it is that they may actually pick with that selection?
So the Angels slot at 13.
Okay.
So 13th pick, but the draft pool is the eighth smallest draft pool.
Hmm.
So kind of a recap for those of you who don't necessarily know how it works, depending on where you pick in the draft, you are allocated a bonus pool. This is the total dollars that you can spend divided amongst your guys.
Hmm.
And every draft pick through the first 10 rounds has an expected value for that player. You can go over, you can go under, but it all has to add up to this $7 million draft pool. So from what I've heard, it's still kind of early, but from what I've heard, it's been mostly college players. Although there has been some talk about going over slot to get one of the high school pitchers. Again, one of those guys where you can take a flyer on a very talented prep pitcher, pay a little extra to buy him out of his college commitment, and then make up that money by taking some college seniors and some guys who are pretty close to the bigs as far as hitters later in the draft.
Mm-hmm. Now, John, can I ask a ridiculous question?
Always.
Okay, because I'm always the ridiculous one on the show.
Let's get ridiculous.
Let's get ridiculous.
I love ridiculous questions.
Okay, so Angel fans, including John and I, have been so frustrated when the Angels drafted a guy named Roberto Baltakin a few years ago. I don't know if you have any information on him, but if there's any information that you have, can you tell us if that was a really stupid pick or if other teams were really excited about him? And be gentle, please.
He was an interesting player.
That was gentle.
That was gentle. There were multiple players who were, I'm sorry, multiple teams who were interested. I don't necessarily think that the money that he got was needed to be as much as he got.
And it cost us Vladdy Guerrero the next year because we couldn't pick in that draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't spend.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think if I could go back, I wouldn't make that pick.
Right.
Yeah, put it that way.
Neither would we.
Yeah. Yeah. The money demands weren't quite in line, and it wasn't a great idea, but it's fine. It's worked out.
We're here now.
You have Shohei Ohtani.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He does really cool things on a baseball field.
Yeah.
I love to watch him play.
You were really kind and gentle. We appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you. I was like, oh man, I'm in a mind for this. This is fun.
Hey, Lindsay, really fast. Top five, three of the top five for the Angels are all marked as shortstop/infielders. We've got Kyren Paris, Errol Vera, and Jeremiah Jackson. Do any of those guys stand out to you? Any notes that our listeners should know about those infielders?
Okay, one thing is you'll see a lot of minor league infielders marked as shortstops, mm-hmm. and that's just simply because you get the most athletic guy and you move a lot of them. That's normal. It's not too weird there. Kyren Paris, to me, I don't do a ton of comps on my show because I don't want to give people unrealistic expectations.
Sure,
but when I look at Kyren Paris and I watch him play, I see an Ozzie Albies kind of in the way that he plays. He doesn't have, he can't quite play shortstop. He's probably a second baseman. Mm-hmm. He's got good contact ability. Don't look at his stats this year. Slow start. He's got good contact ability, but I think his power is probably a little better than people are expecting.
Okay.
And so he could probably 15 to 20 home run power. Ozzie hits a little bit more, but he's still young. A guy that absolutely can grow into that. And you have to remember, he's only 3 years removed from high school.
Right.
So, I mean, he was a second rounder in 2019 out of Oakley, California. So, so a guy that offensive first, second baseman, probably hits for a little more power, like I said, 15 to 20 home runs, plays a decent defense, not good enough for short, but can be average to above average at second. And then makeup wise, his character, his work ethic, his leadership, I've heard nothing but good things there. And so, one of those guys where I think he's graded as high as he is, you know, seen as like a third or fourth best prospect in the system, mm-hmm. kind of because of his makeup, and he's kind of more than some of his parts.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah. I heard Ozzie Albies and I got excited.
I know.
another name you mentioned in there is Jeremiah Jackson. And
yes.
he's somebody, if I could wave a magic wand over this system and take one tool that one person had and just make it significantly better, I would make his contact tool magically so much better. Mm-hmm. And I think he would be an impact infielder. He has, if you give him something on the pull side, he will destroy it if he makes contact.
Mm. Right.
And I mean, it's something where he got better last year. He at picking up spin, picking up secondary pitches, not letting himself chase out of the zone, but he still strikes out about 30-something% of the time. And what makes that harder is his year last year got cut off because he had a quad strain and he missed most of the back half of the year. He only got 50 games, but he started off slow, which he tends to do, and then caught fire and then got hurt. Mm-hmm. And so this year, I think he's batting about 250 right now. Same thing. He's a little bit slower, but if he could, if he could just be a little better with contact, I think he could be a guy sooner rather than later for you. It's just, because if he gets hold of a ball, it's gone. He destroys it. It's just a matter of if he gets a hold of it, if he makes contact.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah. 30 homer power is from this middle infielder.
Yeah.
But he has to make contact first.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the Joey Gallo of
it's the Joey Gallo of middle infielders.
I can't think of anybody that we've had that has had that sort of power at second or at short in the Angel system or for a while. Gosh, I think you
not
have to go back.
Time.
You have to go back to the probably early 90s for that, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of the observations that I have is there's so much of this. A lot of these guys are either decent defenders, but they need help work with their contact, or they have good raw power, but they can't get it into games. And I just, that's why I think in this draft, you're going to see probably a couple power hitting middle and corner infielders and outfielders from college that you could say, all right, if we draft them in 22, then they're in spring training in 24 with a chance to make the team.
Right.
Simply because that's kind of what this farm system is missing is pop, just power out of the farm system.
Yeah. Man, I feel like I am just opening up a prospect encyclopedia, Lindsay. This was so good. So good.
Hey, that's the phrase we use when we talk about the show.
Uh-huh.
Prospect encyclopedia.
You guys got the coffee.
Well, Lindsay, this has been great, man. We really appreciate you hopping on with us and informing us about the Angel system, because there's a lot to be excited about, not just with the major league team, but also the fact that they got all the pitching now and then the promise of some of those fielders as well. So we really appreciate you hopping on with us, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
For those that are watching our show, Lindsay, tell them how they can get a hold of you.
Yes. So my show is on Twitter @LockedOnFarm. You can find Locked On MLB Prospects wherever you get your podcasts and YouTube. And then I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. Right now, it's a little college baseball heavy because they're hitting the postseason. And then obviously from there straight into the draft. But once the postseason's over, it's back to pretty much nothing but minor league baseball.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thanks for the time. And let's do this again soon.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, we really appreciate Lindsey Crosby jumping on with us to talk about the Angels minor league system and give us some hope for the future because we need it. The Angels are firing on all cylinders right now, and it's good to know that we have a great future as well. But we want to thank you for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. Now, for your second listen, head on over to the Locked On MLB podcast hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully. He's going to bring you his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can, of course, reach us at Locked On Angels, and you can connect with Mike and I at Super Halo Bros on Twitter and Instagram. If you're listening on the audio side and you want to catch us on the video side, head over to YouTube and search Locked On Angels, and we'll be waiting there for you. Now, this Monday on Locked On Angels, you get to set the agenda. We're going to be taking your questions over our mailbag, so get in our DMs, find us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, start asking your questions, and of course, you can always reach us on our voicemail line, 714-409-6396. That phone number will be in the episode description. Leave us a voicemail with any questions you might have about the Angels, and we're going to get to those on Monday. Until then, my name is John, and my brother Mike wishes you well, and we'll both see you here on Locked On Angels on Monday.